Okay.
All right, so just as a preview for tonight's mission, last night we, of course, you talked about the institution of Mayim Achronim and the position of Tosfos, that we don't have the root cause of Mayim Achronim, so to speak, which is the salt of Sodom, the Melech Sdomis, which could potentially be a danger. So by way of introduction to tonight's mission, I thought I would discuss the institution of Havdalah. The Pasuk says, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos LeKodesho, that we should sanctify Shabbos. We discussed this to a great degree. Dennis had an insight into this. We discussed the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, what should come first, Bori Pri HaGafen and Mekadesh HaShabbos. So there is another side to that coin. The Rambam explains that the mitzvah of Zechira Shabbos is to say things about what makes Shabbos unique, both Bichnisasa, when Shabbos comes in, and Biyitziasa, when it leaves. Because what you're effectively doing is bookending the day. And what you're saying is, this day is different than the days that come before it and the days that come after it. So we know that to enhance this, we've added in the Bo'er Pi HaGafen. Very often we're Misadar HaBrach Al HaKos, that enhanced it, whether it's in the context of a wedding, a context of a Bris Milah, context of Havdalah as well. The Gemara discusses a time when the Jewish community suffered from such poverty that it was simply impossible for them to recite Havdalah in the context of a coast of a Bo'er Pri HaGafen. That's how we got it in our tefillah, Atachon Antanu, which we say, of course, Ma'ariv on Motzei Shabbos. The reason that we have that text is because people simply could not afford the extra cup of wine. Remember my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, telling me that when he would visit his mother's family in Naira, which was sort of a more rural area of Latvia than where he lived, so they used to make Havdalah, believe it or not, on a cup of milk, because that's what they had. They had cows. They certainly could not afford, it was not affordable for them to have an extra cup of wine. Just to give you a sense of, you know, this isn't even in the times of the Tanoim or the Amoraim. This is 100 years ago, and this is part of the Jewish experience. So in any event, that explains the Bo'er Pri HaGafen. But we know that we have, on Motzei Shabbos at least, we have two different and additional aspects of the ceremony. So we do have what we call the Eish. We have the Ner, and that is explained by the Gemara in Pesachim, that on Motzei Shabbos, God gave Adam wisdom and taught him how to make fire. So God sort of created, and we'll talk about this, it seems to be Machlokas, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, what we focus on, God sort of gave Adam the idea of fire, for those who studied Plato, the Platonic image of fire, and then Adam had to sort of conjure it up together, and God gave him the insight, and the wisdom to be able to produce the fire. It's interesting, the rabbis chose, it's a big machlokas, but the rabbis chose to insert the Havdalah into which bracha atachonein la'adam das, the ability to make these distinctions. So in any event, that's why we have it on Motzei Shabbos. We don't have that when Yontif ends, unless it's Motzei Shabbos, because that's something that happened historically, according to the Gemara Pesachim, right after the first Shabbos. And we also have the additional factor of Bisamim. We say Borei Minei Bisamim, the original text with either Atze Basamim or Isve Bisamim, but since we're not really expert in different kinds of spices, so we say Borei Minei Bisamim. And the reason for that is often attributed to this idea that on Shabbos, we have an extra degree of spirituality. This is referred to by the Balei HaTosfos as a Neshama Yesera, as an extra soul. And when Shabbos leaves, and it's interesting that we don't have this when it comes to Yontif, since we're already losing our extra soul, we use it as a means of revival. The Rambam admittedly puts this in a far more rationalist terminology, and the Rambam says, when we lose Shabbos, we have a sense of da'avon nefesh. There's a certain sense of disappointment. Shabbos is an exalting kind of an experience, and that's why we have the Besamim as a kind of rejuvenating factor. So the important thing when it comes to the Ner, when it comes to Besamim, is that they're really linked to Shabbos as opposed to Havdalah, which we also have in the context of Yontif. And as we'll get to in just a moment, when it comes to the Ner aspect of it, the flame, that is the flame that we obviously create after Shabbos to basically reenact the fact that Adav HaRishon produced the first flame on Motzei Shabbos as Shabbos was leaving. This is, of course, the opposite of what we do on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur is the other time when we have Borei Me'orei HaEsh, but that has to be a Ner Shalosh Shabbos, a Ner that was lit all on Yom Kippur. That's to make that distinction, and also to show that, we're not allowed to light things on Yom Kippur, but as soon as Yom Kippur is passed, we acknowledge that, so it's sort of the opposite phenomenon. Isaac, you remember a few years ago, you were responsible for, I had you bring in the candle, but I think in the end I was too afraid to leave it in the building lit overnight, so we didn't end up doing it. That was during the Isaac's student tenure. Let the record show that that was part of Isaac's responsibility. Siggy is smiling sagaciously because he does remember. So the order of Havdalah was subject to a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So that's what we'll take a look at now. Beis Shammai Omrim, and the Gemara explains this is actually Rabbi Meir's version of the machlokas. We practically speaking follow the Rabbi Huda's version of the machlokas, but we have to learn the Mishnah. The Stam Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir. Beis Shammai Omrim, that the order would be as follows. Ner, we'll see that Beis Shammai had a different text than Beis Hillel in terms of how we say the bracha over the candle. Umazon, let's say a person hadn't finished Shalashuddis yet, then they would bench, then they would have Besamim. Again, we say Bori Mei Besamim, and then Havdalah Hamavdil bin Kodesh Lachol. And Beis Hillel, they disagree. They say, yeah, Ner would go first, but Besamim would go with Ner, because as we explained, those are kind of like a unit. They only apply Motzai Shabbos. Then you would bench if you hadn't yet benched, and then you would make Havdalah. Beis Shammai Omrim Bara Maor Ha'esh, that God, this is the way the Vilna Gaon understands the Mishnah, that God created the first flame. Beis Hillel Omrim Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, in the plural, because there are actually different aspects to the flame, and as the Vilna Gaon explains, this is a reference to the human flame that was created as opposed to the divine flame. So it's really a machlokas, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, whether we're focusing on God's original light that he created or the light that human beings create in partnership with God. And part of the idea, of course, of ending Shabbos is now it's a time for Melechas Machsheves all over again, a time for us to be creative. So Beis Hillel's version, which is what we follow, Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, is a reflection on the idea that human beings get to be creative. In Bevarachin lo al haner, velo al habisamim shalgayim. Okay, so you can't make the bracha over a flame that, let's say, was lit by a non-Jew over the course of Shabbos. It has to be lit by a Jewish person after Shabbos. And likewise with the besamim, lo al haner, velo al habisamim, the Mishnah says, shal mesim. They used to, when people died before they were buried, they used to light candles, as is our minhag, in the Shiva home, and they would also use besamim. That's for obvious reasons. This was before refrigeration. So that would be denigrating to use in the context of a mitzvah. V'lo al haner, v'lo al besamim, shalifnei avodah zarah. Certainly not things that had been used in the context of avodah zarah. And now here's, we'll conclude with a very practical line. Ein mivarchin al haner, that you shouldn't say, what we say according to the text of Beis Hillel, is borei me'orei ha'esh, and not like Beis Shammai has, borei ma'or ha'esh. So in mevarchin al shabara maor haish, in mevarchin al haner ad sheyosu leoro, that we should not make the bracha on the flame until we have actually had hana'a, we've actually benefited from the flame. Now this is a very fascinating thing. So the Balei HaTosos say, well, you don't actually have to benefit from it, but you have to be close enough to benefit. But many people, just by show of hands, let's see how many people have the practice. This is a very well established custom. I'm sort of holding up one's fingernails to the fire. Anybody have that? Okay, so it's pretty common custom. So according to the letter of the law in the Mishnah, you should actually do that not after you make the Me'orei Ha'esh, but you should do that beforehand. It's actually my custom, because the Mishnah says the halacha is a mevarach and al haner ad she'i osu l'oro. You have to benefit from it beforehand, and then you get to make the bracha. But you haven't benefited yet, so why exactly would you do that after? It's really the common practice. You can continue if that's your practice. What's that?
During.
What's that? Oh, during, yeah. But again, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that you really have had to benefit from it before it. So presuming, this is what most people assume, that the reason that we hold up our fingernails to it is that we want to get some benefit from that flame. You know, people turn off the other lights to make sure that they're actually benefiting from the Havdalah candle. So if you really wanted to go all the way, if you wanted to be a purist about it, you should actually do it beforehand, right? And not during, because the Mishnah says, "Ein mevarchin al haner al sheyosu l'oro," that you shouldn't make the bracha until you benefited beforehand. So again, the common practice is not to, and you have what to rely on, because Tosa says anyway, that you don't really actually have to benefit. You have to be in a position to benefit from it. You have to be close enough to benefit from it, but that's again a little bit of the nice diversity of Minhagim out there. It's good to understand exactly why this should be the case. So again, just to review, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, exactly. So that seems to tie into the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai that we were talking about 2 minutes before you came in. So it depends what you think you're making the bracha on when it comes to the ner. So Beis Shammai's position is you're really making the bracha on what God created. So maybe according to Beis Shammai, you're right, right? But according to Beis Hillel, no, the whole point is to reflect on what human beings created. So it's a different halacha entirely, right? Means that you're benefiting from what God created. But since we follow the gears of Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, it makes a lot of sense that first you create the fire, and then you should benefit from the fire, and then you make a bracha over that as well, because of a different orientation. We're not so much reflecting on the idea that God created, but that Adam HaRishon was the one who created the fire on that first Motzei Shabbos.